buying in. I'm telling you, buying in to this idea of the power of the blood of Jesus. Buying into this idea of the covenant of God. A man who is so consumed internally with the word of God that he steps out to the forefront when nobody believes it's possible and says, with God, nothing is impossible. A man who steps out on the battlefield and says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I'm covered by the blood. I'm in covenant with God. And I'm ready to take the kingdom of God. Praise God. He's hiding in the cleft of God's rock. He's covered under the fold of his wing. He is preserved as the apple of God's eye. Why? Why does God care? Why has God preserved him? God, preserve my mind. God, why did you preserve my mind? How did I get through that season of failure?
Come on.
How did I get through that season of depression? I shouldn't be sane. I shouldn't be rational. I shouldn't be where I am doing what I'm doing. But God, why did you preserve my mind in the trouble, in the darkness, in the abuse? Why, God, did you save me? Well, I'm glad you asked. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. Why did God preserve you? Brother Chris, that season right before you walked in that coffee shop, when nothing lined up correctly. God, how did I get through the season? God, how did I get through the trouble when I was isolated and my family was far away and I didn't have anybody to lean on and anybody to trust in? God, how did I get through when I was backslidden? How did I get through when I was losing my mind? Because God saw you and God said, you're going to tread upon the lion and you're going to tread upon the adder. That's why you got through it, Justin. That's how you got through that season at 17 years old, because God saw you doing the work of ministry and he said, I preserved you. You're here tonight because you, look at somebody and say, you're going to tread upon the lion and you are going to tread upon the adder. You're going to tread upon the dragon and you're going to trample him under your feet. Now, you don't have to believe it tonight. It's your choice. You can believe it or not believe it. But I'm just going to tell you, that's a word of prophecy specifically for the Messiah. But David said, I tell you what, I'm going to grab that word of prophecy for myself. He said, this is why he preserved me, because I'm putting my dragons under my feet. Rejoice not against me, O my adversary, for when I fall, I shall arise. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm getting up. I'm getting up out of depression. I'm getting up out of suicide. I'm getting up out of anxiety. I'm ready to see God do the work in my life. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Don't take the fact that you know the name of Jesus for granted tonight, because there are people all over this city, when they get desperate, they don't know who to call. When the night gets dark, they don't know who to call. They're confused about who to pray to. But you've got the name of Jesus on your life. You've got the blood of Jesus covering you. You've got the sun shining on your face. You've got the name. Somebody say the name at which every knee's gonna bow. Somebody say the name at which every tongue shall confess. What's that name? What's that name? Somebody praise him like you know him. Somebody shout. Because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Why is God going to extend your life? Brother Dawson, why would he give you more time? The stuff people are stressing about. The things that they're anxious about. The things that they're racking their mind about. I pray every day, God, give me long life. God, extend my days, because the dead can't praise you. Why would he give me more time if I'm gonna sit there like a bump on a pickle? Why would he give me more time if I'm not gonna praise him? Why would he give me more time if I'm not gonna teach a Bible study? Why would he give me more time if I'm not gonna seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? But if you'll get your life bound up in Christ, God will prolong your days so you can get the job done. He's going to give him a generation. He's going to give him a seed. Now he's connected to Genesis chapter 3. He's aligned himself with the prophecy. Brother T, the best days of your Bible study teaching are not over. Brother Jermaine, if you're listening, there's another Tenarius Hayes out in the city of Birmingham. Dad, if you're listening, there's another GR and Karen. There's another Larry and Danette. There's another Ted Bellinger. There's another Gary Ellis. There's another Morrell Cornwell. There's another Larry Booker. And I'm telling you today, I'm looking for them. I'm believing God that the best is yet to come. Young person, there's another Rodney at a school somewhere. There's another Xavier at a school somewhere. A couple Wednesday nights ago, we talked about the victor and the villain. We talked about the fact that all of them start out as a victim. We're all a victim of sin. We're all a victim of depression. But why would God preserve us? God cares about us. God loves us. God created us. I don't know what I should be. I don't know what I should do. I don't know who I am. I have no identity outside of God. But when I begin to align myself with God and his purpose for my life, it all begins to make sense to me. I begin to see who I really am. I'm just going to tell you, young person, your gender is not something that you got to go out there and try to figure out. But a relationship with God will inform you of who you are really supposed to be. Praise God. Everybody's been dropped. Everybody is broken. Everybody has fallen. Everybody has a reason. We're all a Mephibosheth. We're all lame. Some of us are a little lamer than others. That was funny, Krista. She lives with a corny dad. She doesn't like corny humor. But if you choose to remain the victim, you will become the villain. You will become the person that continues to perpetuate dysfunction to your children and to their children and to their children, and it'll continue on and on and on. Is that for me? Thank you, sir. Until you make a decision, I'm not living like this anymore. And I'm just going to tell you, at the end of the day, at the end of the day, it's just laziness. It's just being slothful and being negligent and not really being concerned. It's really just a little sleep and a little slumber and a little folding of the hands. But I just want to tell somebody here today, you cannot be indifferent to sin. You can't be indifferent to this adversary that you have. He's like a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to find somebody. You are in a war whether you like it or not, and you cannot be lazy in this war. You have to be intentional in this war. You have to be determined in this war. And I'm just going to tell you, even if you get to the place where you get knocked down, you lose somebody that you loved, maybe you went through a season of discouragement, you got to make up your mind, I'm going to get back up and I'm going to live to fight another day. Come on, you got to make up in your mind, yeah, that was a bad season, but the devil's not going to get the last laugh in my life. I'm going to break through. I'm going to break out. Paul, when he preached at Mars Hill, said, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God," look at somebody next to you and tell them, "I'm a child of God." "We ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And at the times of this ignorance, God once winked at your ignorance." There's a season of time where God will allow us to remain in our ignorance. But now, everybody say, "But now." "God commandeth all men everywhere to repent." It's not enough to say, "Well, I just didn't know." I know exactly what is at stake. You know exactly what is at stake. And for a season of time, God will wink at indifference. For a season of time, God will allow us to take an effeminate position and to not act and to not exert ourselves. Men, listen to me. God will allow you to sit back and take the punches and take the blows for a while and say, "Well, I'm just a victim of the circumstance." But there comes a point where the commandment of God comes into my life and says, "It's time to repent. It's time to repent, not just from your sin, but it's time to repent of your indifference. It's time to repent of your laziness. It's time to repent of allowing somebody else to teach the Bible study. It's time to repent of allowing somebody else to witness." God will wink at it for a while. But eventually, he's going to demand that all men everywhere repent. Because he's appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. He's the one that you were made in his image. He's the one that filled you with his spirit. He's the one that baptized you in his name. And it's fine for a while to sit back and let somebody else intercede. It's fine for a while to let somebody else teach the Bible study. God will wink at it for a while, but then he's going to send a preacher to tell you it's time to get up off of your duff and do something about it. If you're going to have revival in your generation, it's time for somebody to repent of every Bible study you didn't teach, of every prayer meeting you didn't attend. Sin. On one end is the thou shalt not. It's all the stuff you're not supposed to do. But God did not call us to repent over all the stuff that we're not supposed to do, apostolics. That's not where we're supposed to live. Constantly living on social media for hours at a time, consuming a bunch of stuff that is not like God, that is creating a cycle in your life of unbelief and depression and anxiety. And every time you come to church, it's just another deal where you need somebody to pray for you. You're living on this end of the spectrum of sin. But on the other end of the spectrum is to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And when he's talking about this kind of repentance, he's not talking about living in a cycle of compromise and carnality. That's what Israel did. That's why they wandered in the wilderness, because they did not believe God. But when I repent as an apostolic, I'm living on this end of the spectrum. I get up every day and I say, God, my life is yours. My family is yours. Who do I need a witness to today? Who can come into the kingdom today? Who can I teach a Bible study today? Who can I win for the kingdom of God today? How can I cause my church to double in one revival today? And when I lay my head on the pillow at the end of the day, I say, God, forgive me for everybody I didn't witness to. Forgive me for every prayer I didn't pray. Forgive me, God, for everybody that I could have won that I didn't win. Praise God. Praise God. That appetite that you're feeding, the small things, the little things, the small compromises. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines. And sin is a type of leprosy. Leprosy is a type of sin. And leprosy would begin to eat away at the flesh. It was incurable. And it would begin to eat away at the extremities. And it would begin to affect the people of God's ability to feel what we're supposed to feel when we go out into our world. As we touch people, we don't have the sensitivity to feel where they're coming from. We're thinking about our needs and not their needs. We're thinking about praying to God that God help our infirmities and not their infirmities. And leprosy would ostracize a person from the people of God, and it would isolate them to the degree that they would say, well, nobody cares and nobody loves me. And then they would begin to lose their limbs. And what it was is it was declension. It was the process of the body that God created to give him glory beginning to break down, until they did not have fingers to reach, until they did not have lips to speak, until they were just a blob on the side of the road with no more function. All because of sin.
Help us, Jesus.
Just a little leaven. Just a little carnality. Just a little compromise begins to create. I'm just going to tell you something. Before God pours out great revival, every single time, he calls his people to repentance. He calls his people to repent. Godly sorrow works repentance. If my people, who are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins. I'll heal their land. My eyes will be open. My ears will be tuned in. I want God's attention in this season of my life. But before God is ever going to pour out unprecedented revival, God calls his people to a place of repentance. Praise God. God, forgive me for everything that I have not done. Forgive me, God, for my lack of sensitivity to what you are sensitive to, God. Not looking within, but turning the lens back out onto my world. Saying, God, I only have so much time. Only have so much time. What can you do in the allotment of time that you have laid out for me, God? What could I be, God, if I laid it all on the altar and I consecrated my life? Young person, what could you be if you turn your attention not onto the video games and the social media and the consumption of entertainment, but if you turn your attention back to your world? And every day your mindset was, God, I'm going out into my world and I'm taking dominion for the kingdom of God. I'm just telling you, that is the will of God in this generation. To start with a place of repentance and say, God, I'm repenting of all of the idle time that I've spent. All of the things I've done with my life. When you've put your spirit and your word in me. I'm here to tell somebody, if you can do what I'm telling you tonight, if you can start with a place of repentance, and not just a moment in an altar, you need an altar in your life. You need a place that you go back to continually, over and over and over again. But if you can find a place of true repentance where you lay everything on the altar and you say, God, I'm starting from this point on tonight. And I'm saying, let's just start fresh, God, with everything I'm doing with my time, everything I'm doing with my talent, everything I'm doing with my treasure, God. I want to know, God, why did you put me on the earth? Why did you put your breath in my life? I'm here to tell you, depression will begin to leave when you will shift your perspective back to the kingdom of God, back to the Imago Dei, back to the Missio Dei, and say, God, send me out into my world. God, put your words in my mouth to make a difference to my generation. David said, I know his name. I have his spirit. And I'm willing to sacrifice it all to reveal his glory. And because of that, nothing that's happening in my world can derail the plan of God in my life. I won't fear the arrow. I won't fear the pestilence. It just keeps whizzing by because I am bound up in the plan and the purpose and the destiny of God. Praise God. Let's all stand. Butch, can you hand me that? The chart? That one. Young people, listen. You've been developed. I gave 15 years of my life to developing young people. I've given you everything I've got. I don't have anything else. Well, there's no other gospel. There's no other name. There's no other recipe. There's no other plan. There just comes a point in time. How many of you have taught one of these? There just comes a point. The study. There's just a point in time where you just don't talk about it anymore. Amen. We had three get the Holy Ghost this morning. Three get baptized. We had three pray back through to the Holy Ghost. But if we had had 30 here, 30 would have gotten it. There's just a point in time, Brother Micah, where 400, 350, 300 people in the church and three here on a Sunday morning, it's just not the recipe. We go to Pete, we have the conference, we spend lots of money. And I'm not condemning you tonight. We buy the books, we hand them out. But at some point, there just has to be a burden for the lost. At some point, when I pass the cashier at Walmart, because I'm the closest to her, I'm the one most responsible. And if, Brother Dawson, if we close the loan, Chase, if we fix their air conditioner, if we fix the windshield or do the plumbing job or fix the heart or do the surgery or whatever it is that we do, and they go out into eternity, they're dying and going to hell. Say, well, man, I've never taught a Bible study before. I've never gone to outreach before. I don't know how to intercede for my city. There's just a point where you put it on the schedule and you just sit down and you open the outline and you start to teach. You start to talk about the rest and the covering. Because you know what? Young person, Brother Cornwell's not going to be around a whole lot longer. The greatest soul winner in the apostolic movement, self-proclaimed. He's not going to be here forever. At some point, Bishop Sutton's not going to be here to teach the studies during the week. At some point, Brother Cliff is not going to. I've seen men pass off of the scene in the last few years that are apostolic leaders. And man, as they But Bishop Wilson preached at Peak this year, and he said, I may not be here next year. It just stirs something on the inside of me. I'm not interested in repenting over and over and over again for carnality and sin and compromise. That's not the plan. I think there's another Bible study in your home. I really do. There's another Matt and Chrissy Stevenson in the city of Birmingham. Praise God. I'm just telling you. You say, well, I've never done it before. And so, I'm just telling you, we're living in a busy day. And it's really just about prioritization. But at some point, everybody that I come in contact with in my world is somebody that I'm responsible for making a difference in their life and in their world. And I'm telling this church tonight that God is calling us to a place of repentance. It's not up to our world to repent. Our world can't repent. My world can't repent for my inactivity. But if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn, then I'll heal from heaven. I'll forgive their sins. I'll heal their land. My eyes will be open. My ears will be attuned to them. And no matter what happens, no matter what comes in my life, nobody can remove me or terminate me from the plan and the purpose of God. Let's lift our hands to heaven right now and let's talk to God. This altar is open if you want to come and pray. This altar is open if you want to come and lay your life down before God and say, God, I'm reprioritizing my life. God, I want to know. I want to find somebody this week that is hungry for you. I'm looking, God. I'm searching for a lost soul. I'm looking for somebody to pull out of the fire, God. I'm looking for somebody to pull out of their destruction, out of their depression, God. I'm not coming tonight for you to heal my mind or for you to heal my spirit, God. But I want you to put your desire. I want you to put your passion. I want you to put your will down on the inside of me, oh God, until it consumes my thinking, until it consumes my life and my schedule, God. I want you to put a burden down on the inside of me for the lost, oh God. I want you to teach me to pray an intercessor's prayer, God. God, I want you to teach me to travail for my city, oh Lord. God, give me a burden for the lost tonight, Lord. Give me a burden for broken people, God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Masara Katabasa. Landa Bakatara Bakoroso Kolobokosa. Yeah, Marapasolo Piasa. God, stir our youth group, Lord. Shake our youth group, oh God. Give us a burden for our city, oh Lord. God, raise up Bible study teachers in this last day, God. Raise up soul winners, oh God. Yandaba soro koshatabasa. Yeah, Makatarama sotoro bokosa. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. My altar, God. I'm laying something down tonight, Lord. I'm laying it, God. I'm laying down a video game system, God. I'm laying down my affinity for the world, God. I want a burden for the lost. I want a burden for the hurting and the broken, oh God.
Not by might, not by power.
To make a decision, I'm not picking it back up until somebody comes to church with me. I'm not playing a video game again until I see somebody praying through in the Holy Ghost in an apostolic altar. Come on, somebody needs to say, I'm not gonna pick up Facebook again until I bring somebody to the house of God. God, I want to see souls saved. I want to see revival in my day, oh God. Forgive me, God, for my idle time. God, forgive me. Purge me, God. Cleanse me in the deepest parts of my being, oh God. Use me to save somebody today, oh God. Yeah. Oh, use my family, God. Use my children, oh God. Use my mouth and my voice, God. My mind and my spirit, Lord. Tear down every stronghold, God. Tear down every stronghold, oh God. Loose me to be a witness, God. Not absorbed with my own needs, God. But looking at a world that you died for, God. Give me your heart, God. Give me your passion, oh God. Give me your desire, oh God. I want to feel it like you feel it, God. I want your passion to fill me, oh God. Of your altar. Your dominion will be the size of your sacrifice.
Breathe on us. Breathe on us.
Praise God. I already have one Xbox and one tablet sitting in my office. This is what I expect to happen here in the next few days. I'm just telling you what I feel. Your contribution to the kingdom of God will be directly proportional to the sacrifice that you put on the altar. And I'm telling you this with full confidence, with the Holy Ghost is saying right now, that God is raising up, he's ready to raise up soul winners in this last day. Ben, I saw it on your face. I saw it on your face, buddy. But I'm expecting some young people to bring some stuff to the office, and we're going to leave it there. I'm just telling you what I feel. I feel a directive of the Holy Ghost for some young people. There's power in a way that you don't even understand it yet in your life. It was a couple of young girls that won my family to God, that were responsible for my dad coming into the church. You have more power than you understand. But I'm telling you what I'm expecting in the next few days is for some young people to bring a game system to my office and say, I'm leaving it here until I've got a soul sitting on the pew that I brought to God and I taught a Bible study and they're speaking in tongues and they're baptized in Jesus' name and they've got my fingerprints on them. Praise God. Brother Davin's been doing outreach on Saturdays. We have prayer on Saturday nights, strategically there for interceding for the city. If you have some time to commit to either one of those structures, and in conjunction with your personal evangelism, if you have some time to commit to those. Young person, listen, if you don't know how to engage people out on the street, you can come to a system that's already in place and you can learn. This is what structures like Hope Corps are intended to do. I'm leaving on Saturday. We're going to do an ITW, an intensive training week in Roatan, Honduras. And we're going to work with young people in that structure. But the bottom line is, if you don't know how to do it, there's nothing wrong with not knowing how to do it. Just connect yourself to some people who know how to do it. Get with Brother Davin and say, when are you going out? Let's go out. And I'm just telling you, if we could get about 15 young people to those outreach activities on Saturday, and we could get out into this Walmart here in Irondale and get you going up, I'm telling you that you can impact people that your mama and your daddy cannot impact. You can get through the hard veneer of somebody's heart and tell them, will you come to church with me? Praise God. Just telling you, I really believe that God is getting ready to take the lid off of this thing at this church. I'm just telling you, I believe that God is ready to do some things we've never seen him do before. Praise God. Come on, one more time. Why don't we give him a hand clap of praise and shout to God with a voice of triumph. God, we magnify you. We glorify you. We worship your name, Jesus. Come on, let's all lift our hands. God, anoint your people, Lord. As we go out into the city of Birmingham, God, I pray that you would put your words in our mouth, oh God. Help us to make a difference in our world, oh God. Give us sensitivity to the needs of our community, oh Lord. We praise you. We love you. We lift you. We magnify you. We exalt your name, oh God. Praise God. Come on. Give somebody a high five. High five tonight and tell them, I'm ready to take the city. I'm ready to see God do a great work in this community. I'm ready to see God do some things we've never seen him do before. Come on, why don't you give God one more hand clap of praise? Somebody lift him up and magnify him and exalt his name. God, go with us. God, break the back of the adversary in this city, oh God. Praise God. God bless you. Share your love and your faith and your strength with somebody as you are dismissed tonight. Praise God. Thank you.